I'm excited because Cavaliers in action tonight. They're in Boston, again, nationally televised, which put the Cavs on national television at your own peril. Because the game could be over 10 minutes in, which is what happened last week at this time against the Knicks. It's what happened, obviously, the last time the Cavs were out there. Was that a TNT game against Orlando?
Yes.
That game was over.
On Tuesday, yeah.
They have just been absolutely dominant. I got to go. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have an 8-game win streak?
Correct.
Did I get all the W's right there in a row? So they're going for 9 in a row. I asked the question earlier in the week. How big of a game is this going to be? But maybe more importantly, what kind of mind games could these coaches be playing tonight? We already saw injury report for the Boston Celtics yesterday that came out, and it was Holiday questionable and Jaylen Brown questionable. Now, he did not play in the second game in a back-to-back that they had, which was their loss against Detroit. So he's questionable. Cornette has been added with questionable with personal reasons. So, Tom, mind games tonight, or do you think we'll see the best of both these teams?
I think we see best on best.
I hope so.
I think they both go full go. Yeah, and it's nice to not see any top Cavaliers names on the injury report for the first time in a few weeks.
Yes.
Right? Garland will be back. I'm with you, Anthony, though. I think there will be some mind games from a strategic standpoint, from a X's and O's standpoint. I think we saw when the Celtics were here, it was about 3 weeks ago or so, right? They got the Cavs into some bad defensive matchups with some switches, especially with Porzingis. And so I think we'll see a different attack, especially defensively, from Kenny Atkinson. I don't think you want to show too many of your cards, though, because this is obviously probably the team you're going to run into at some point in late May, early June. But I do think there are some mind games. I do think there will be some trash talk. I think that's all good and healthy, and I'm looking forward to tonight.
I think it's pretty obvious to everybody that these are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. The Knicks just have not. I know they just got Mitchell Robinson back, but they have not held their end of the bargain when it comes to this. And they made their big moves, and they've been really good offensively this year. But even the Cavs throttled them last time out. The Celtics pretty much handled them last time out.
I'll tell you who still scares me are the Milwaukee Bucks. And I watched a little bit of them last night. A healthy Giannis. And because of Dame and what he can do and how quickly he can get going, you know, much like Steph Curry, who I think made, 12 threes last night?
Yeah, 56
points. You know, that Lillard-Giannis combination, which we really haven't seen at full strength for very long, is still worrisome to me.
Well, I want to know from the fans, 216-474-0092, how much stock are you putting into tonight? How big of a game is this for the Cavs? Because you're going on the road. You got DeAndre Hunter. Now, we'll never know, even if they would have beaten the Celtics the last time out. Supposedly, they were already working on the framework of a DeAndre Hunter deal. So I don't think I don't think losing that game is why you went and got DeAndre Hunter. But anybody that watched that game knew that just putting your playoff hopes, your championship hopes on your small guards and your small wing, which was Max Strus at the time, that was not going to bode well for you. They needed to make a move. And DeAndre Hunter, Tom, has been a seamless fit for the basketball team right now.
And we thought so. And especially when you talked about the Ty Jerome connection, right, that they won a championship together with the Cavaliers of Virginia a few years ago. And we knew what a good guy he was. And obviously, you know, Cavs fans have watched him kind of, you know, hurt Cleveland over the years with the way he plays. I'm really interested in Anthony. You and I talked about this yesterday off the air. I'm really interested to see DeAndre Hunter D up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I'm really interested to see Kenny Atkinson kind of throw those waves of forwards at those two guys, which you haven't had that luxury before. Now you've got Hunter. Now you've got Okoro. Now you've got Dean Wade, who you can use in a multitude of defensive assignments, whether it's on Al Horford or trying to check one of those wings every once in a while. You know, everybody's got six fouls to use, and you might as well use a few of them on those guys. Make it real tough on them. I think from a confidence standpoint, Anthony, what I'm looking at is the Cavs are going to have to learn how to win in Boston, because that's going to be the path to the finals, right? You're going to have to figure out how to win there, you know, play through that parquet and the mystique and the ghosts and Larry Bird and all the other things and the banners hanging from the ceiling. So I think from a confidence level, just getting a win there, playing well there tonight, I think is very important.
So you don't think just having home court advantage is going to be enough?
It's not enough. It's the playoffs. You guys know how it goes, right? How many times have what does LeBron always talk about, right? A series doesn't start until somebody loses on the other one's home court. Happens all the time, right? We saw it last year. We saw lopsided games in the playoffs, you know, whether you were home or you were away. I mean, you know, the Cavs played well at home, didn't they, for the most part? Got hammered in Orlando by, you know, 35 points, whatever, the worst playoff loss in franchise history. Things happen on the road. So I think it's very important for the Cavs to go to Boston, feel good about the way they play tonight, and hopefully carry that forward into the playoffs.
What I absolutely love is that with DeAndre Hunter, he is somebody that's not going to get played right off the floor. You know, Okoro, unfortunately, because of the offensive limitations, he's someone who gets played off the floor. Strus has been somebody that he's a streak player. So when he's on, you know, he can win you a playoff game. He also is a guy that can get played off the floor if he's not hitting, and then they are attacking him defensively. They just got too much size for
Sam Merrill falls under that
Merrill's
same thing,
another
right?
one.
Yeah, exactly.
So. But fortunately, now with DeAndre Hunter, I love that they can come at you in waves, and if they can somehow, I almost want to not play Dean Wade the rest of the year and just save him for the playoffs.
Bubble wrap him, I'm with
right.
you.
Yeah. Yeah, can they package
him up? He's valuable.
Because you see, and the records, the numbers, if you believe all those analytical numbers, they show you that when that dude is on the floor, the Cavs win games. They just simply win games.
Changer, yeah, no question.
So that is what I'm interested in. Also, you know, we're looking for, look, bulletin board material is great. Owen put together a whole montage yesterday when it comes to bulletin board material. Now, obviously, still to this day, Boston Celtics are the Vegas favorites in the Eastern Conference and the NBA. Even though they've been kind of treating the regular season with a chill mode, to quote LeBron, a casual flair to it. Brian Scalabrine sees all the Celtics games, and he was asked on WEEI, the afternoon show yesterday, what kind of team it takes to actually beat the Boston Celtics in a series, and listen to how he dismisses the Cavs.
And Oklahoma City does scare me because they got real individual defenders, real. Like, those guys really guard, and they have shot blocking now with both Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein. So that's a legit team. Jokic is always a problem, but I don't see, like, the Clevelands or any, like, how could those teams beat us? Like, that would be, I know they got DeAndre Hunter, but he'll be on, we're talking about Jaylen Brown on Darius Garland for four straight games, and that's not going to work out for us. I feel like that's our advantage.
I mean, he's just dismissing the opportunity of the Cavs. And I'm like, man, the Cavs are a different team this year. Obviously, it's more than just Kenny Atkinson. You got Ty Jerome, where there's almost no drop-off when you go to the bench in the backcourt. It feels like the Cavs are not the same team that he just described.
He's trying to convince himself that the Celtics belong on another tier, because I was on his Sirius XM show last week with Frank Isola and Scalabrine, who had wonderful things to say about the Cavs. And so I don't know if he was just trying to make me feel good as a semi-retirement president or whatever the case may have been. But Scalabrine was high on the Cavs. And so to hear him talk this way yesterday, now granted, he's on the home station. I know he's one of their broadcasters, and you know, he proudly wore the Celtics jersey for a minute or two. So he feels that way. Now, I disagree with him wholly, and I think if you ask the Celtics on a man-by-man basis, they would tell you that this Cavaliers team is scary. And let's not forget that the Cavs team that played them in the playoffs last year, which was Donovan Mitchell on one leg
yeah,
and Jared Allen holding his ribs on the sideline, and they still gave him a good series. Now, I know it was a gentleman's sweep. It was a five-game series, but the Cavs played them hard, and I expect them to play them hard tonight and every game going forward.
Well, what was really good to see at the end of that series, by the end, is it felt like
Evan Mobley
had figured things out.
Totally.
And he was attacking Al Horford. Now, I don't know what happened last time we played. He seems scared again. Like, they do have a knack of all five defenders kind of getting their forearms into you. Those lobs are not as available. They know. They got wily vets. I mean, they got guards. At times, Holiday would defend Evan Mobley and look comfortably.
Anybody, yeah. Derek White would take on any of those assignments as well. I'm with you, though, Anthony. That's a great point you made. I think that final game in Boston was a real changing moment for Evan Mobley, right? It seemed like it really gave him the momentum going into the summer to become the kind of player that we watched over the first 3 years and said, dude, take the ball to the basket, grab the rebound, take it end to end. You can make plays. I also think that we forget sometimes that Evan Mobley is 23 years old, and this would technically be his rookie year in the NBA had he decided to stay at USC for a couple of more years. So I'm with you. And I, you know, again, they're deep. The Cavs are deep. I am always impressed with the way the Celtics continually find the open man, continually find the defensive weakness of the other team. They do a really nice job on that. I'm not a big Mazzullo fan, but again, he's a coach. When you talk to the players, tons of respect.
Why are you not a fan
of Mazzullo?
Oh, I got to hear this.
He's just, you know, he's one of those coaches, unless you're part of kind of the hometown media group, you get the short answer. You kind of get the dismissive stare.
Doesn't it seem, Tom, like he's doing a Greg Popovich impression?
Trying to be, yeah. And listen, there was a point last year we thought he was going to get fired, right? I mean, he was on the hot seat in Boston, which is, you're on the hot seat from the moment you walk in the door there, whether you're with the Red Sox, the Patriots, or the Celtics, just the way the city operates. But I like the man. I don't know if he's a great coach or not, but he's certainly getting the job done.
Yeah, Tatum has played excellent lately, and the better he plays, very interesting. The Cavs last time out, they're like, "Hey, we are gonna force. We're okay if he's picking on our guys because he's gonna take bad shots. He's gonna take bad twos, and his 3-point shooting is down. He's down to 35%, but he is impacting games in different ways. He's taken a little bit of a,
he is.
A step
a
forward.
Smarter game. I'm with you.
Yes.
He's also not getting away with that off arm kind of clear out that he does. You know, that's the way he kind of gets separation a lot of times. He's been called for that this year more
it's Pritchard's,
than
Pritchard's move too off the bench, man. It is a killer watching bench guys get that availability. All right, Ben and Acker, I want to get to this call because the Cavs are taking on the Celtics tonight, and we have been building this game up for a week, and I just don't know in Boston if they're building it up in the same way. We don't know if Jaylen Brown's going to play again. Are they ducking the high-powered Cavs right now? Ben and Akron, go ahead. What's going on? First of all, what stock will you put in tonight's game?
Well, it depends who plays. I think if both teams show with everyone up, then I'm taking a lot of stock in it. But I'm excited, finally. I think DeAndre Hunter gives us a lot better shot against Boston. And I just want to know from you guys is how deep will our rotation go in the playoffs, and especially against Boston, and who would that be in that rotation against them?
All right, thank you, Ben. I have been somebody that's made quite the stink about getting Strus out of the starting lineup in a big series against the Celtics, but everybody continues to tell me it's not about who starts, it's about who finishes. Okay, so Tom, how does Kenny Atkinson deal? It's not like the regular season. People have to. We should know by now. We've been in amazing playoff runs where we can talk all we want about playing 10 guys, 11 guys. Once the playoffs start, look at the minutes last year. Not just the Cavs, by the way, in the big games against Orlando. It was down to, well, Donovan's playing 40 minutes. Darius is playing 40 minutes. Evan's playing close to 40 minutes. Like, things change come playoff time.
You can try to play 10, but you can only trust 7 or 8. You know, that bench is going to get squeezed. That's just the nature of the beast. Now
Strus is hot.
It's going to, yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to go matchup to matchup. And Sam Merrill is going to be a wonderful guy to be able to bring in off the bench when you need an infusion of offensive energy, et cetera, et cetera. But Kenny's going to have to be, you know, he talks now about playing 10 or 11 in the playoffs. It's just not going to happen. We've seen this. It's you know, it's been the mandate of the NBA since the beginning of the time. You're going to get into a series where, you know, you're going to have times where you're going to need somebody off the bench. There's going to be times somebody's going to get in foul trouble. There's going to be injuries. We've seen that over the years. So yeah, he can talk all he wants right now about a 10 or 11 man rotation. That's just not going to happen.
Donovan Mitchell, and this is, you can give Kenny Atkinson credit, or you can just give the fact that they're dominating, which, okay, that again could go back to Atkinson. He's playing 31 minutes a game. Okay, that is less than his rookie year in Utah way back in 2017. So just imagine if they are in a big series against Boston, you're going to assume these games. I know there are blowouts in the playoffs, but let's assume for the sake of argument that these are good games and the series goes 6 or 7, which I think is most likely
no doubt.
A safe bet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to go from 31 minutes to
42. Absolutely.
Like a game could go to overtime, 43, 44. That is how the playoffs work, and that's not just a Cavs thing. That's not a Bickerstaff thing. I know people put that on Bickerstaff. You're not going to want Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Porzingis attacking your backups. You're going to want to go toe-to-toe.
You have to.
That's just how this works.
Can't let the game get away, right?
Imagine if all of a sudden there's 11, 12 minutes less for those role players and those bench players to play. That's what I think people need to remember how the playoffs work. And I think
it's a different,
that's what you're alluding
to. It's a different sport. Yeah, it's a more physical game, right? It's the strategy goes to another stratosphere. So I think what's been good in, and listen, the 15-0 start certainly allowed Kenny Atkinson to have any kind of leeway and leverage that he needed, right? I mean, that was imperative. But I like the way that he has developed trust from 1 through 11 or 12 on that bench. You know, everybody that comes off that bench, Ty Jerome has completely changed the way that that second unit looks. I mean, he could end up being a starter at some point. Who knows? You know, unfortunately, too, just because of the way the game is, somebody's going to get hurt between now and the playoffs. It's just the way it goes. It could be somebody that's going to...
Don't say that. Well, I don't want to hear that.
I'm not saying the Cavs. I'm saying just in general. That's what happens, right? I mean, somebody gets their finger... Somebody smacks their finger on a ring, on the rim. You know, somebody turns an ankle, goes out for 2 weeks. It's going to happen. So it's good that he's been able to develop what he's got right now, which is wave after wave of Cavaliers.
All right. I don't know if you paid attention. Tom Withers is in for Ken Carman today, and he is a big hoops fanatic. I'm not sure if people are waking up or just kind of turning us on right now. We had some developments in the Western Conference, and I'll explain why this is applicable to our conversation. So the Lakers win last night. They beat the Timberwolves. The Lakers, don't look now, they're a 4 seed in the West. They're a game behind the Nuggets for the 3 seed. That LeBron James character, how old is he again, Tom?
67.
He had 33 points, 17 assists, 6 assists, 17 rebounds, 6 assists. He had a block and a steal. LeBron looks motivated, which is very scary, I think, for the rest of the Western Conference. And Golden State, they came back down from a big, big deficit to beat Orlando on the road. Steph Curry had 56 points. We have been starved in this league, and I think the network execs, the commissioner, the people that talk about the game, we have been starved to get a new face of the NBA. And yet, just when you thought Steph was done, because he was having one of the worst years of his career, just when you thought LeBron was done, both of them have been revitalized.
The two Akron
with
kids.
Some trades. Yeah, right, same hospital, right? The Jimmy Butler trade, that has changed the dynamic with Golden State. The Luka trade has changed the dynamic with the Lakers. And so there's been this big conversation about who is going to seize a grip on face of the league. Anthony Edwards said he didn't want it. And then LeBron James, yesterday, he was talking to Dave McMenamin at his locker. And it's very strategic when LeBron wants to talk about these things. Listen to LeBron talk about the face of the league.
I mean, Channing Frye said it the other day. I mean, it's unfortunate, but like, why do you want to be the face of a league when all the people that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis on everybody? It's just weird. It's weird energy. Channing, he said it. He said it perfectly. Couldn't say it no better. But Ant said he don't want it. Obviously, I didn't ask for it. But I knew it was a responsibility for me, not only to my family, my friends, my community, and whoever that was going to follow my journey throughout my career. I feel Ant. I understand. I completely understand. This is weird energy when it comes to that. So.
All right, Tom, I've considered you at times to be the biographer of LeBron James. You need to get paid on these things, by the way. You've covered him as close as anybody from his high school days.
What a weird answer.
It was a bizarre answer.
Yeah, it was all over the place,
too. He says
too.
He didn't want it. Yeah. He had chosen one, yeah. You know, tattooed on his back.
Exactly, right.
Like he
craved it.
And that's why he is legendary. That's why he's a billionaire. That's why he's going to own an NBA team. That's why... The guy could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, and I didn't hear Channing Frye's comments, but I disagree with LeBron from the standpoint that the people that cover the league are not giving those guys a hard time on a day-to-day basis. We're praising them. Yeah, are you going to get dissected? Are you going to get analyzed for the way you play? Of course you are. That's sports. So, you know, welcome to the arena, Mr. In the Arena, LeBron, right? I mean, I love the guy. Don't get me wrong. I've, you know, been fortunate enough to have been there from day one with him. But my question to you, Anthony, I asked you earlier, since when does the NBA need a face of the league? Like, why is that such an important thing? I don't, you know, you think about those years with Magic and Bird and Jordan, there were several faces of the league. And I think that's what you have now. And I don't think we've had, this is a time now where we have as many, engaging superstars as we've ever had in the game, right? There's every team seems to have one of those guys. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, I could argue, could be one of those faces of the league. There's plenty of them. So I don't think it has to necessarily be, branded on one player. I think that's almost unfair.
NBA's in a weird spot because it does get a lot of criticism And there are myriad reasons for it, from load management. You know, you don't know who you're going to see on a given night. A lot of people did not
buyer
like,
beware. Yeah.
Yeah. People did not like how political people got in the league.
Fair.
During a time when there was a lot of political unrest. They've obviously, a lot of that has gone away, but there were a lot of reasons that people were done with the NBA.
It's and a 3-point shooting contest now is another like newer
not
argument.
A lot of variance.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Right, right.
Yeah.
More blowouts than ever before because of that. And yet they signed an 11-year, $76 billion deal, a deal that baseball would thank the heavens if they could get a deal, even a fraction of that.
Right.
So like financially, the league is in great shape. They've got some of the richest people owning their teams. They're flush with cash. Superstars are going to be making $70 million a year here when it comes to contracts.
You've got mid-markets like Oklahoma City and Cleveland as arguably the two best teams in the league right now.
That's six champions in 6 years.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Could be seven.
It's in a good place.
That's what I'm saying. It is in a great place in that regard. But the way people talk about the league, and is LeBron just, is he staring at Inside the NBA? Is he staring at the bloggers? Is he staring at Charles Barkley? Because, yeah, there is a double standard there. There are people that are ready. Like Joel Embiid had one of the greatest seasons statistically in NBA history a few years ago, won an MVP, and people just make fun of him, even though it's his body that's failed him. Like, it is weird how we don't talk about Josh Allen that way.
No, and LeBron
hasn't won a Super Bowl.
Right, and LeBron also got himself caught up in that little stupid argument over who owns Christmas Day or not. Like, does it really matter? I mean, we're all sitting at home watching the games, whether it's an NFL game or an NBA game. Who cares? And the TV ratings, why is that such a big deal? So, yeah, I don't really know where LeBron's coming from on this. I certainly don't think Anthony Edwards would be the face of the league anyway. I mean, really nice player. Don't get me wrong.
You have to actually play both halves without being ejected.
Yeah, you can't, right. You can't get kicked out of 16 games and potentially be facing a suspension and be the face of the league. So, it's an interesting argument. I just don't know where LeBron's coming from on it.
The Ringer 100 just came out, and Cavs fans will love this because four of their players are in the top 50. We have Howard Beck from The Ringer coming up at 9 o'clock. Now, you said face of the league. Jokic is number one. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, number two. Giannis, number three. They have Tatum, four, and Luka, five. So four of your top five are foreign players. But I don't really think that impacts the NBA.
Not at all.
The way it might in baseball. There's not a communication gap. You don't need translators. These stars all speak the King's English. Like they have no problem communicating to their fans. And look at their Instagram account. Somebody told me the other day that Kyle Kuzma has more Instagram followers than Aaron Judge. Okay, Kyle Kuzma.
Interesting.
Like, that shows you the NBA stardom machine.
Absolutely, it's
still, and I just said Kyle Kuzma and stardom in the same sentence. It doesn't belong. They have Steph and LeBron 6 and 7, so there's a little bit of reactionary because those haven't been the 6 and 7 best players in the league, but they're coming on strong. So Donovan Mitchell, number 8. This is the highest he's ever been, and Donovan has had the rap on him, never been out of the second round. I mean, this team, they are poised to make a significant run. So
eight,
I think Cavs
by the way,
fans,
eight sounds about right, don't you think?
He's ahead of Kevin Durant this year.
Absolutely.
They have Wemby at 10, Anthony Edwards at 9. Okay, now we go further down. They have Evan Mobley at 16th overall. That is awesome to hear because he is gaining ground on the rest of the league.
I mean, was he last year? Probably in the 30s
yes,
or 40s. What do you think? Yeah.
He's had a unicorn.
No question.
A bunch of unicorn games lately if you look at the box score. You have, I think this is exciting for fans as well. You have Darius Garland at 25. So Darius is creeping up. He has been in the running for all NBA. And then finally, Jared Allen, who you got to go down to 48. So he cracked the top 50. I think that's awesome. I think that is awesome because I have said all year that the Cavs would debunk a lot of kind of ironclad things, narratives that we have about what it takes to be a champion in the NBA with the two small guards. Well, they can debunk that.
Debunked, yeah.
Not having a top 5 player. They can almost every team that you can argue about Jason Tatum last year. But the Celtics and Tatum, and now they have them in their top 5. So they can debunk a lot of that. Do you think the Cavs could be this team? I know we're in Cleveland, and we don't have a LeBron James. Could they be a team that could become kind of the face of the NBA, especially if they break through and contend for a championship this year.
Well, yeah, and especially the way they play, right? It's a likable style and it's a likable team, right? I mean, these are a bunch of good guys, and I'm not just saying that because I cover them. And
nobody hate watches the Cavs like they do
the Celtics
Harden over the years, and
or the
Bede.
Knicks, yes. Yeah. The Pistons, like all those kinds of teams. This is a very likable group. I think Kenny Atkinson is a very likable coach. I think there's a lot of people outside of Cleveland, and I know this for a fact, that pull for Cleveland. That want to see,
believe it or not,
that want to see good things happen in Cleveland. And I think it's fascinating, and Anthony, you and I talked about it very briefly yesterday, but could you imagine this builds up to a Cavs versus Lakers final?
Don't threaten me with the most amazing time ever, Tom Withers. All right.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, so I love this because Tom Withers, a little slice of Tom Withers' life, as he is in semi-retirement.
Quasi.
But in this country with the economy, you got to have side gigs. You got to do something. You never know when your retirement is going to be in flux. So Tom started his training to become a high school basketball official, which I guess they are, or just a basketball official in general. And they're in desperate need, if anybody's listening. So there are steps to do that. But Tom, you already felt under attack. What can Tom do about this? Because it's not just that the game of basketball is always, is it a charge? Is it a foul? How are we going to officiate the traveling? You know, there's a lot to do. And you guys don't have the resources necessarily. You can't throw it to New York to get the right call. In this case, you had parents storming on the court.
We had an interesting situation last week. I don't have those resources, but I do have third and fourth grade boys asking me to look at the video replay on the last call because it was wrong. And can we use the coach's challenge? I'm like, come on, guys. We had a situation last week where, so I'm refereeing a third and fourth grade boys game at the Westlake Rec. And as you guys can imagine, the biggest fourth grade boy compared to the smallest third grade boy is a big gap. I mean, it can be.
Oh, I have them that age. Yeah.
It can be 6 inches and 60 pounds. Right. So we had one kid on the floor, real nice handle, got to the rim a few times. One of the smaller kids on the floor. He took a real hard foul in the lane, went sprawling, right? So my instincts, because it was kind of a hard foul, I didn't think it was dirty at all. My instincts were to help the kid that was laying on the floor because I was afraid he was hurt. So as I go down to help him up, I look over my right shoulder, here comes Dad. And Dad is charging onto the floor, and I'm thinking initially, okay, he's coming out here to make sure Junior's okay.
Right.
No, Dad is incensed because he feels like a dirty play just happened. And we are giving unfair treatment to the gorilla on the other team, if you will.
You guys give the Stars all the treatment. I hate
it. Yeah, that's what always happens.
That's a Westlake wreck.
Right?
Yeah.
It is a star-driven league.
Yeah, over there in Westlake, that's how they do it.
But fortunately, my partner, Matt M. Wally, shout out to Matt, did a nice job of kind of cutting this guy off. We got him calmed down. We got him back into the seats. But I got to tell you guys, even in my 6 weeks of doing this, Rec League basketball gets intense and parents get intense. And, you know, I was lucky enough to coach at the high school level. I was a varsity assistant girls coach at Westlake, went to St. Joe's for a year, was on the boys program at Westlake for 7 years. So much like Owen said to me earlier, you know, I spent 15 years yelling at officials as well. But now I have a new perspective. I'm seeing the game through a new prism. And let's remember, too, the only people that are being held to a perfection standard on the floor are referees. And you're going to miss stuff. And I've even found myself now during games and after games going up to a coach and saying, hey, guys, I blew that one. I promise I'd get another one back. So it's been a great experience already.
Tom, when you walk into a gym, are you looking for the parent, the guy that maybe looks like me that's already got his arms folded and is standing in the corner and going, oh, that guy's going to be trouble?
You know what? You can kind of pick him out, Owen. It's funny you say that. And what I try to do...
Smell their breath when they get up close to you?
I try to disarm them right away and walk over and say, hey, folks, how you doing? Is it still snowing out? Or what, you know, strike up a conversation.
A little small
talk. Yeah, a little small talk. And I found it good, too, as well, to talk to the coaches before the game and say, hey, guys, any questions or concerns, anything we'd like to focus on? Who's the flopper on the other team? You know, all those kinds of, any kind of scouting I can do pregame is always helpful.
I love that. I am somebody that, you know, obviously at the professional level, you know, if you're an official at the professional level, there's so much people are gambling on the games. I understand why after a bad call the next day in a Browns game, it's full lines and the league's out to get us. And this game needs to be under investigation. And that turns out in college basketball, yes, they are under investigation. You got teams like New Orleans holding out four guys because they're wondering what's going on. And they're talking to the, you know, the DOJ about what's happening. In this case, at that level, I am surprised. Now, I'm not in it yet. So people like Owen will tell me and Ken will tell me, wait till you get there. You'll understand why parents are on edge about this stuff. I just don't understand why anybody would have the expectation that, no offense, Tom, that the officiating would be at an NBA Finals level there. Like, you guys are at your stage for a reason, right? You also want to help out in the community. That's awesome. But you're getting your bearings. You're learning. And, you know, eventually maybe there'll be some mobility for you. Maybe you can make it to the ranks of, you know, tournament games in the OHSAA. I don't know if that's the goal. Maybe, and sometimes those people get plucked and end up at the next level in college. Either way, I've never watched a game, even at a high level of college, where people don't think the officials are the worst in the world.
Right.
So there's no glamour. No. There's never going to be glamour behind it. You're always going to be under the assumption that the parents hate you, the fans hate you, and that you are screwing their kids and their teams.
Yeah, going in, you have to have that kind of that mindset. I tell you, I've been fascinated just the mechanics of the game. Like, I found myself, especially after going through the online instruction, now I find myself when I'm watching, let's say, an SEC game between Mississippi State and Alabama, I'm watching the officiating crew to find out the way they kind of, you know, work together or whatever. But listen, youth sports are youth sports now. Unfortunately, we've gotten to a place in this society where it's become too much and the parents are a little bit out of control. What I've been trying to do, Anthony, you know,
not out of control.
What I've been trying to do is make this my own. And so to your point before, that's kind of why I was trying to give back a little bit, have an impact on the community, have an impact on some younger players, on some younger coaches, try to help them along. So when I'm doing a first and second or third and fourth grade game, I'm out there as instructing as much as I am officiating.
I can't get over. You're talking about third, fourth, fifth grade, and why any parent would think. What is the psychology behind this? And I don't know, maybe they have these problems in other countries. I always hear about the youth program and how right now it is very polarizing. You know, not just the decorum and the behavior of the fans and the parents, but also our developmental system. Is it where it needs to be? I just read, you know, the Ringer top 100, four of the top five players did not play, you know, high school basketball in this country. So what's going on there? What's missing here? Everybody picks up a basketball. Well, there's no reason. We have great athletes in this country. Why don't we have the best basketball players anymore? Why is our college game so hard to watch? Where is the development? Like, that is the hard part, even though I know how skilled the NBA players are, but I watch a college game and I'm like, why aren't the players able to shoot and dribble and do all these things? And at a high school level, the skills have shifted. Like, everybody can shoot a step back three from 30 feet, but does it make sense to?
They don't make them, they'll shoot them.
Right. Are we not working on the right fundamentals? But it's just to your point, like, Tom's just trying to officiate a game, Tom, earn some extra bucks, guys.
Have you had any parent yet go, hey, I think that's Tom Withers from the AP?
Several times. I've tried to be incognito.
Do they hold it against you when you blow a call? Because I know, so I'll just, for instance, my daughter played soccer when she was younger. John Loffman from Channel 19.
I remember,
He used to officiate, he always officiated our games.
Yeah.
And if he blew something, I would yell at him, John Loffman! You've got to get it right. You're on TV. Yeah. People know who
you've
you
got a seal. Come on, John.
I had one mom come up to me last week and say, you should just counter with, don't you know who I am? And I'm not that guy at all.
You should counter with, LeBron James is going to come to one of my games. We're friends. He's, not after what you said earlier in the show. But it's incredible to me. And I'm going to go through this, I'm sure, with my kids. But they're so young.
You definitely will.
But I'm not going to be in the, now I'm saying this now. You guys can all call me out. I don't feel like I'm going to be in the front row. I don't feel like I'm going to do it that way. And I'm not, I don't understand the way the coaches are under the microscope. Like, as if the coach is the difference between whether your kid goes and gets a college scholarship.
It's a, and you'll do this, Anthony. I know.
Owen, right? And, right?
I'm fortunate to have some very good coaches in my life.
So. Well, you know, and you'll get into this, Anthony, and I know, Owen, you probably did. You know, I coached my son, TJ, throughout youth sports and wanted to be part of it. And so I have an appreciation for what a thankless job that is, right? And because I had a little bit of an athletic background, I felt like I was, you know, qualified to some degree. Now, once TJ got to the point where he was playing soccer where you needed strategy and all that, I kind of bailed because I was just about like, get the kids out there. Let's have a good time. Let's have a good experience. Let's hustle. Let's try to win.
Let's run faster than everyone.
Yeah, run faster. You know, if they're keeping score, we might as well try to win, right? That kind of thing. I will say this though, Anthony, I was like you. I was like, I'm not going to say anything, you know, when I'm there as a spectator. There got to be games though where things got really physical, whether it was on the field or on the court, and that's when I raised my voice. And I felt like I needed to, only because whether it was an official or a coach or a player on the other team was taking things to a level where you had to lower the temperature in the room, right? Because it got heated. It gets heated. It's youth sports, man. People want to win.
Well, I know it, when we watch NBA games, we know all the officials, and that's probably not a good thing. Maybe that's going to be the case now. So when you're at Westlake Rec Center, try to avoid, though, a Westlake Malice in the Palace. We just don't need one of those at the rec center.